that was pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed. Surely not to be disbanded. We are the Mighty Mounties.
Josh, RC.
And Michelle, Christine.
Cool. Welcome. Okay, well, we're doing the pod again. I'm very excited.
Me too.
How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm good. We're on episode 3, which is very exciting.
And have you been digging the Reddit?
I have. Like, I mentioned, I think, this last time, but I've been on Reddit a long time, and one of my favorite subreddits is the r/ask Reddit, because there's some gems of questions that come up, and Reddit's a bit of a rabbit hole. So did you Reddit a lot over the past few years, or not so much?
No. Okay. No. I'm new to this situation, and also new to the types of comments and people that might be sharing on here. You know, I think some people would agree with, but maybe some of them might not. I don't know.
And there's a big spectrum too. And I've been on Reddit so much that I used to go to city subs. So like there's Reddit for London, for Edinburgh, for Sydney, wherever. And when I was touring around the world, I would just ask if I could like stay on anyone's couch on a city sub. And a lot of people would offer their couch to me. So that's how I kind of met a lot of the people in like Australia and have been able to travel there and do comedy shows. It's just staying with random Redditors on their couch.
Like many things in your life, Michelle. That's both brilliant and dangerous.
It is, yeah, it's brilliant and dangerous. And when I posted on Our London about needing a couch, there were a lot of comments along those veins. So they're a little bit more paranoid of strangers in London, I find.
Rightly so, in some cases.
And he's from England, so he's feeling that. So one of the things that I want to do today as well is we kind of focus a bit on the relationship sub, the last podcast. But this time, we're going to go into Ask Reddit, and oftentimes I stay up far too late because I'm on comment threads from this very subreddit because some of them are fascinating. So we're going to answer a few of the questions. So how about this one? What video game death made you emotional?
Oh, my word. aren't we meant to, didn't Elon Musk say we're in a simulation already? Isn't the real world simulation enough? Like, can we not just mourn the people in our actual living lives? Like, why are people going on and mourning sprites that don't exist in reality?
Well, did you never have like a Tamagotchi or a Dinky Dino when you were a kid?
Jesus, why would you have one of those?
You never had one?
Just an annoying beepy thing. Has the size of an egg. And what are these guys' lives like that they've spent over 100 hours in front of a video game, melting their face off because of the screen, and then this character dies?
Well, I didn't mourn death that much because I'm a Blitzkrieger, or not Blitzkrieger, playing like Call of Duty, you just die and die and die and die and can then come back immediately, so there's not much to mourn there. But I'm trying to think if there's any like Zelda game where a character died that I felt a little bit sad. But honestly, no, I don't think so.
I like how you called it Call of Duty. It's
What how are you supposed to call it?
It kind of sounds a bit different to Call of Duty.
Well, he's from there, she's from here. Okay, so let's do this. So the next question is...
Don't try and potato that. Like, yeah, that's just outrageous.
I said she's from there, he's from here. Oh, fuck it. All right, next question. What popular life advice do you disagree with? And the first comment was, follow your heart.
Yeah, actually, I think that person's right.
You disagree with that?
I think that you should follow your heart, but...
But that's, they're saying that they disagree with that life advice. They're saying follow your heart is common life advice that he disagrees with, or she.
Well, I think you got to live your own life, and that's what follow your heart means to me. And I think too many people in the world are trying to tell other people how to live a shitty version of life. Why does everyone have to have a family? I don't understand that. Like, okay, you're born in a family and all that, but... Not every guy needs to have a family. Isn't the world overpopulated? Don't we have to, like, there's a capacity in the world to have 2 billion people. We're nearing 8 billion people now, people. Can people stop making people? Like, I think there's a problem there.
So you got that from Follow Your Heart. I like it. I like the 180 that took.
Follow Your Heart is beer bongs and Bentleys and going out and having a great time with your lads. And as soon as someone, you know, guys hit their late 20s, they kind of agree with this Disney-like perception that you need to go and settle down. And you meet guys in their middle age and they're fucking miserable. They're miserable because they're not following their heart.
Okay, good. So you are actually saying that you disagree with the fact that he's saying follow your heart. You should disagree with.
I'm saying follow your heart.
Okay, good. And good. So he's saying the opposite, because it says, what popular life advice do you disagree with?
And I disagree with people saying you should have a family.
Okay.
If you don't have a family, that's cool.
I see what you're saying. Okay, I get it. Okay, well, I'm trying to think about what I want would disagree with popular life advice. Gosh. I don't even know.
Well, that was great. It's a lot of, I'm glad we had this discussion.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, maybe there'll be a next comment and there'll be something that's good. Do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life is what someone says they disagree with.
I think that, you know, there's always dark stuff to the good stuff that you do in life. You know, even if you're making love, there's dark stuff you got to do in that process.
What?
Everyone knows what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
There's cleanup, okay? All right? So, that's dark stuff, right? But everyone loves to do it, so there's light.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. Okay, cool. I like it. Okay, next question. What villain's motivations do you personally relate to? And the top comment was Magneto.
So Magneto is probably one of the best X-Men. And he was in agreement with Professor X in terms of what they wanted. They wanted equal rights for the mutants that the people weren't giving them. He just went about it in a whole Malcolm X kind of way, and as opposed to a Martin Luther King kind of way, like Professor Xavier, you know, let's do peaceful protest kind of stuff. He's like, no, let's burn bins and put them over people and get our stuff. And so, like, yeah, that's the obvious answer. I'm agreeing with this Redditor, if that's
well, it's the top comment.
Well, so there you go.
Yeah. Another top comment was Walter White, desperation can change a person, which I totally agree with as well. I think that... I'm trying to think what the most desperate thing that I've done. I'm not at that stage. Like I'm don't have a lot of what's the term? I'm moving to the UK and I'm gonna have to start from scratch. And I have been seeing those like Craigslist ads pop up in London about like people wanting to have a female live with them for free, but under the guise that you have to like, have sex with that person. And I'm not there yet where I even think that's a good idea. But like 1% of you is like, how bad could that really be?
I think anything to do with sex trade is a bad thing. Yeah, so stay sure away from that.
Yeah.
But I think going on to the Breaking Bad theme, you know, Walter White, I can identify with, you know, he's getting no action from the missus. He's got this terrible sentence of terminal illness and he wants to do right by his kids. That's all admirable stuff. But as soon as he gets cured and now he moves into the world of, you know, say my name, Mr. Heisenberg. You're goddamn right. You know, that territory's a little bit too far, I think. That territory, he did just go off the rails.
Okay, next question. If you received a 10-year prison sentence, what life skill would you want to develop? And one of the top comments was that they would finally have an excuse to get physically fit.
I think if you are needing life or short-term imprisonment to get fit, then your life is really in a bad place. Why do you need, you know, criminal record to be able to achieve these goals? I don't understand.
Right. Well, you did say that you would want to figure out how to not maybe receive something in the shower. I think originally you were brainstorming about that, oh, you right. know?
Yeah, that's the first goal.
And when one of the comments was holding a soap. So I think they were along the same lines as what you were feeling. Not a bad skill to learn if you're in prison. But what I also don't...
What did you say to that?
Over 10 years? I think I would probably maybe try to do something with learning how to speak a language if I could or something like really? That. Just something that I would only do if I was like confined and bored to the max, probably. All right. So let's see here. Ooh. What video game has the best community for making actual friends?
I would say the clubbing community.
What?
going out of your house and meeting real people is the best video game for that.
No. Let's get off that weird.
Aren't we all living in a simulation, Michelle?
You've already said that. I would say, well, just from personal experience, I've met a lot of friends playing Call of Duty.
Call of Duty?
Yeah. And Call of Duty, what I like about Call of Duty is that, like, you're on a team, right? So you can play some video games. Like, when I used to play GTA 5, it was online. No, it wasn't online. I just did the mission, right? I did the solo play. I, like, would live stream it on Twitch. And I made some, you know, some friends kind of the people that watched me. But with Call of Duty, when you're on a team and you're taking on another team and you, like, save someone from getting headshotted or you, like, you know, save someone from getting stabbed in the back and, like, you win and you, like, come back and it's, like, 74-74 and then someone on your team headshot somebody and it's like you to win, like the camaraderie that you get from being on a team I think really bonds you. What do you think?
Until 2 minutes after you turn that game off. I mean, it's not
you
real.
You can make online friends. And the fact that you're saying that is ridiculous because you watch people on Twitch. You don't even go, you watch the in real life where these people are just like literally sitting and they're not even doing anything interesting. They're literally just sitting there talking and then you're hooked. So then how is it, you know, worse?
Sometimes they're eating tacos. It's Tacos Tuesdays. I mean, that's real, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. But I don't know. I just find that, you know, everyone's got different tastes and preferences, but that I think there's a huge community built around a lot of different types of video
games. I'm just saying that there's something wrong. Like, we're wired to interact face-to-face, eye-to-eye, belly-to-belly, and trying to kind of game the system of human interaction and the amount of time that you have to put into in a proper relationship is what a lot of these frustrated computer guys are making a mistake on, I feel. Like, yeah, go have your computer game time, you know, 10 hours a weekend or whatever, but it's never going to substitute the connections that you get face-to-face. And I think that's the problem.
But do you think that's because you're an extrovert and those people are introverts and then you guys just, you know, find different fulfillment from different life choices?
Yeah, hey, you know, if it works for you, cool, but just don't get upset that you didn't become the best player on the game and then you find that you've got your air rifle in the cabinet and now you're going to go back to school the next day. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a lot of dangerous shit that's happening in the world as a result of people being repressed by substitutes for real human interaction.
Okay, so here's kind of a question that sort of is you know, talking about human interaction and connection, people who need much time alone to be happy. How did you manage it when your partner had moved in with you? So you, I guess, yeah, being an extrovert, but like, do you ever find, or do you know any couples that where there was an introvert and then they've kind of shacked up with somebody and things have gone south?
What do you mean by that? Oh.
Because like this person's top comment, which is kind of interesting, is like, for me, alone time particularly means time when I'm not forced to interact with other people. And yeah, I think that there's people that are so different where literally talking to people is a forced action that drains their battery. And then there's people where talking to people fills their battery and makes them happier. And I think, yeah, the people that might spend more time inside playing video games are those people that aren't looking to feel forced to have those face-to-face, belly-to-belly interactions.
There's this great skill that's taught in personal development and in other circles as well. And it's called matching and mirroring. And basically, if someone is a hi kind of guy, then you just do the same. Hi. And that's all that person needs. They don't need you to fill the space. I think there's a problem with these chatterboxes who say, oh, this person's not talking. I feel so insecure. Let me just keep filling the space with my own voice. You need to just be like, okay, this guy doesn't mind just being in the presence of silence.
Yeah. Well, this person basically just said, you know, their partner, they can just like browse Reddit and watch YouTube and then the other person does their own thing and then they feel super comfortable together. So
yeah, a lot of people saying that technology is the worst thing ever. You know, it's got its downsides, but it's also got its positives. What would the couple be doing back in the 60s? They'd just be sat there not talking to one another over the waiting for their meal, right? At least now they can be on their phones and talking to the people that they really care about.
How do you calm someone down without accidentally riling them up? Oh, see, I'm going to get some good advice here, hopefully. This depends on how upset they are. Let's break it down. But have you, I guess this is a good thing. I think that for me, I used humor to calm someone down. So my mom, she worked, 9 to 5, kind of was the breadwinner for a lot of my childhood. And I could tell in an instant, just by how she entered the house, what kind of mood she was in. And if she seemed like she was in an upset mood or an irritated mood, I would often try to use humor to make her feel better and calm her down. And now that I'm a comedian and that's what I do, I feel like a lot of its roots were in that. It's just trying to have my mom be in a good mood if she had like a rough day at work because she worked for a lawyer and there was a lot of kind of bullshit that she had to do during her day.
I say bring it on, I say you're making the effort and you're trying to be calm and now this person wants to go drive the ship into a giant storm. Yeah, get the front of the boat, bring it on. I think I'm the opposite of you in terms of like, I think there's a process that people go through, a lot of people do, where they've got inner demons that have to come out. And I'm ready to see them. Like, come on.
Yeah, I would do the complete opposite for sure. I'm a diffuser. I like diffusing.
I'm an amplifier. I like to put fuel to the fire.
Do you think that's actually a good thing? I don't think that's a good thing. I think that's a bad thing.
You know what they call depression? Depression is anger turned inwards. You got to let that fire out.
But if you can calm them down by making them laugh, they're getting the fire out by feeling better.
All I'm saying is, I tried, okay? I tried to make it better, and now you had a cranky day, and there was a pebble in your shoe.
Let's fucking go. But you said you tried to make it better, so you started
Yeah, I still try, but then, because the whole question is, how do you try to calm them down when they're already riled? You're trying, so you're already gone some of the way. But if they don't want to go there, let's go the other way. If you want to go back down the path.
What's slowly making a comeback?
I guess computer games. No, I don't know.
I don't think, yeah. Fanny packs, someone said, as someone that works in retail, oh boy.
Well, The Rock has been making it popular.
I actually like fanny packs. I find them very convenient. My dad always had a fanny pack.
It is the indicator point of you becoming a father when you wear a proud fanny pack on holiday. It's very American as well, rocking up into the air-conditioned suite wearing a Hawaiian shirt, a fluorescent shorts, sandals, and a giant pink fanny pack.
Okay, so this is a serious tag. Now, when there's a serious tag, it means that if you had any funny or playful comment, it gets removed because they actually just want serious answers, right? So the mods will remove them. So this is a serious tag. What is the one thing you've done in your life that you just wanted to check off the list and now you regret? Do you have anything that's like that, that you were just like growing up, you like really wanted to get to this?
Isn't that most of life? Like, I don't know. Like,
no, are you crazy? What's with Mr. Pessimism today?
Getting the student debt of your degree, which is like no use for most people. Unless you're getting a vocational degree, don't go to uni, kids. It's the biggest ripoff that's currently in the Western world. Like, what's going on? It's not the same thing as it used to be, guaranteed, it's a nice, stable job. You're going to get effed.
Okay, so I would say this top comment, because I was just kind of curious what it's going to be. He grew out his hair super long. He just wanted to see what it would be like. And he says that it's just a pain in the ass, that his hair gets everywhere in the apartment, knots are in his hair, and it's painful and annoying to remove.
All right. That's really tough, because there's no real simple solution to that problem now.
Well, he can cut off his hair.
Oh.
Oh, man. One person wrote, I watched all of Lost, complete and utter bullshit. Did you ever watch Lost?
I liked the first season.
I liked the first season, too. And then
my friend had watched it all the way to the end, and I'd stopped after a bit of season two. And as soon as they got rid of the giant polar bear, I felt ripped off. Anyway, I asked him, is it worth it? And he said, if you haven't made it this far, it definitely isn't worth continuing. And I felt like even that could have been a line from the freaking show.
So here's another thing that I think was kind of cool, because you talked a little bit about these types of people. So the incels are the type of people that do kind of insulate themselves from people, stay inside a lot, put a lot of blame on where they aren't in life on other people, like other guys and other women, like the Chads and the Stacys.
But you know that what that represents, what that stands for, incel.
What does it stand for?
It means involuntarily celibate.
Oh, yeah.
They think they deserve some action around... You know, and it's not happening.
Mm. Okay, so the question is for ex-incels of Reddit. What caused you to go down that path, and what helped you to change?
So I must have known this was okay. Go on.
So I'm excited. So this.
I'm not. This is what the hell are we on here?
I'm excited to read this. I wouldn't call myself an incel, but I did share a lot of opinions that the community tends to have based on my own experiences in life. Pretty much my loneliness made me bitter towards everyone else. I tried to rationalize my loneliness and the idea that women are the shallow creatures who only prefer rich men who are attractive. I've changed to the point where I do recognize my own part in my loneliness, and I can't fault anyone for having a preference for someone who is successful, but I still feel like a lot of people are shallow, but that's life.
I just think you got to get over entitlement issues.
Yeah.
And if you think you're entitled to getting action and you don't have to work for that, that's literally how we're primed as human beings. Like, go out, hunter-gatherer. Like, I'm not saying in terms of money, but women like a bit of ambition. They like a bit of, like, you know, I think you can talk about this being one. But you're literally got the opposite mindset of what you have to be attractive. If you could... Everyone thinks it's the Instagram life. It's the physicality. It's that, yeah, clean under the armpits a bit and sharpen up on the long hair if it's not working for you. Mm-hmm. But really, it's how your attitude and how you're approaching the world that's going to make the difference to how much attractiveness you're going to convey. And I think you were saying that you're attracted to personality, right?
Definitely. Oh, most definitely. It takes a while for me to, it's very rare. If maybe it's happened honestly once, but it came from a conversation and where I met the person and what we kind of talked about. So I need to feel like a person is bright. I need to feel like a person, gets a bit of excitement out of either creating or building or, you know, that... I think that if a person feels like being alive is a gift and we should try to utilize it and make each day as productive as we can, I like that. I think that that's an attractive quality. But that's also how I feel about life too. I've never felt like I have to be kept, and I don't think that rich matters to me. It's that a person is passionate about what they're doing. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Yeah. You know, pestering isn't personality, you know, and, I gotta say, incels, they don't have this attitude of gratitude. And I think the line actually is to flip it completely and to be a vocel. I think vocel is the way to go. And that's a voluntarily celibate, right? If you just flip that and say, hey, look, I'm not getting any action, but who wants it, right? Because now you're winning. You're winning because you're saying to yourself at some level, this is what I'm choosing, and actually, I can tell you, it's a great life. It's a great life. You don't have to put up with any arguments, any BS, any listening to stuff that you don't listen to. You go through life. You get your food that you want. You can afford things. You don't have to buy stuff for someone else that is being a financial burden to you, right? I think there's so many benefits to it. Like I said before, we need fewer people on this planet. Do the world a favor, right? Stop being driven by your biological urges. They can be taken care of, right?
I like it. Oh, man. But I do think, I mean, and from reading a lot of Reddit threads, too, about people with families, it's what you want. I mean, some people decide that they want to have a family and they meet somebody and they have kids and the kids really fulfill them and it completes their life. Yeah. So there's more than one way to skin a cat.
But what I would say is... There's been a lot of accommodation, especially on the female side. And females, you are the gatekeepers here, okay? If the guy's coming in and he's just shaved off half his head and he's kind of twitching and he's kind of treating you bad on some way and he just needs the liquor before he gets to talk to you, woman, then maybe you could do the world a favor and just leave that man, okay? Leave him to be. He needs to be a vocel. He needs to be on his own. And women give men too many chances. They give them too much rope for the rest of humanity. Humanity is dying because women are too kind. Women got to stop being so kind.
Again, that's one way to look at it. I do see where you're coming from in that regard. There's obviously very complex layers to certain situations and, you know, financial, you know, dependencies and things like that. So, you know, it's not super black and white, but it's true. There are a lot of resources out
there. The guy just shaved half his head. Get the hell out.
Okay, so we'll move on. This is a question that I'm actually kind of curious your answer. If you had to choose between marrying someone you were crazy about but was meh about you, or someone who was crazy about you but you were meh about them, which one would you choose?
This is easy. This is so easy. Which one?
Well, yeah, I'm asking you this question.
It's got to be the second one, man.
So you would rather be with someone who is crazy with you about you, but you were meh about them? Oh my gosh!
No, yeah, I think it's better. It's better to be the loved than the one reaching. Mm. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's the number one answer. I would marry the person who is crazy about me, as it is tormenting to be someone who doesn't love you and care about you as much as you do. But I mean, I can also
getting into the mind of the incel.
I just think that it brings me joy to be around people that I love. So I feel like I would rather like that person, because if I'm not like that person, what am I doing?
Yeah, I mean, again, women too kind. You're at a point of weakness because you like this guy more than he likes you. And guys know it right. She likes me more. I can, you know, I can get away with a bit more. That doesn't mean abuse.
No, but I've been in relationships where I feel like I've liked, or the other person has liked me more. And, you know, I think, well, when the dust all settles, I wouldn't marry somebody who I didn't think was crazy about me. So this is a kind of a trick question, you know, like I want to love them and I want them to love me. That's, I wouldn't marry someone if it wasn't that case.
See, I think the parameter here as well is like the guys are assuming that the guy that that the individual that likes you more than you like them is hot. And that's not always the case. That's not always going to be the case. Most likely it's not the case. Mm. So.
So yeah, in a nutshell, I wouldn't marry the person if it was that
choice. Why do we have to go to marry as well? Yeah, again, like,
that's so severe.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. People getting married, their friends and their dude, it's one big cake day with the friends and the family. You can arrange that, you know, down the Toby Carvery on a Sunday for much cheaper.
But the thing is, there's also complicated reasons why people get married, right? There's like tax benefits. There's, you know, if you want to have children, there could be immigration issues that it literally, it's one of the only ways that you can have that person stay in the country with you. So not everyone is getting married willy-nilly just because they believe in the institution. There's a lot of legitimate benefits to it administratively. And so that's a lot of reasons why some people get married as well.
I just think unless you're getting a visa, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, and that's what some people think, for sure. People who live on the border of a time zone, how does it affect your day-to-day life?
Wow, we're really digging deep here.
Yeah, well, sorry. I mean, it's hard. I have to read at the same time. And so, you know, there's talking, there's listening, there's reading. You know, you just get to hold the phone.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Okay, what is something you're looking forward to? This is a question for you. I'll read the comments after.
Sleeping, I always look forward to that.
Yeah,
in my day, and eating,
yeah,
I look forward to that, and working out, that's nice. Mm-hmm. You know, playing a game, basketball, played some of that, but no, I think people big up too much of the big things, and they really appreciate the small things, and I've learned to just really appreciate every grain of nice soft sand that I get to put my big foot on, right? And that's what makes life great, rather than being like, I'm really looking forward to this part of my empire, or whatever people are trying to pretend that they're going to create in their lives, and then they feel inadequate, so they have to go out and buy a freaking Gucci suit or something for with money they don't have. How about just appreciating that little burger you got to eat with your missus?
I think that I'm looking forward to, so I've been introduced to this thing called a foot bath, which obviously is pretty self-explanatory, but basically you just put a bunch of hot water in kind of like a foot-shaped bucket, and then you put your feet in, and like kind of as it started to get a bit cold here in England, it's quite a heavenly experience, so even just something as simple as that makes me happy. Also, it was really bright in the room that I've been sleeping in, and then we put like curtains up, like kind of like sheets to like cover the window, and now it's finally dark, so I'm kind of looking forward to waking up in the morning and it not being kind of like the crack of dawn as it feels like because it's so bright in the room. So yeah, that's kind of something I'm looking forward to. Okay. Ooh. I don't know if you have one of these. What are your most embarrassing naked stories?
What, personally or?
Well, mine would be, I was once.
Straight in there.
Well, I was once naked walking from a bathroom to a bedroom. And at my previous partner's family home, and I didn't realize that we were there by ourselves, that his family had come home. And so as I'm about to walk past the staircase, I look down and they look up and they just see me completely naked. I think it was like his mom and dad and brother, and it was like really embarrassing.
Was the brother giving the thumbs up or?
Not at all. Not at all. Okay. All right. Okay, I don't know if you have one, but what is your favorite style of American accent? So do you like Texas? Do you like New York? Do you like just the kind of like the California normal?
I like this one where they call it the Bell.
Uh-huh.
What is that? Is that Southern Bell?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like someone like Carrie Underwood? Someone kind of from Nashville?
Yeah, it's sonorous.
Sonorous. Okay, sounds good. Actually, I'm going to see what these people commented because I'm just a bit curious. Oh, no, that one's... Okay, let's actually jump to this one. What's legal but should be illegal?
I think a lot of company activities, especially when they're polluting and destroying our environment, that's an obvious one. But I don't know.
I would say... Well, the number one answer here would be child beauty pageants, which are definitely... as someone wrote, creepy AF, which means creepy as fuck. But I would say, I think, I don't know how to describe this, but like, there's no, like, when you break the law as a person that is poor or doesn't have access to a good, like, legal team, right? You end up going to jail for a really, really long time. But then when you break the law and you're rich and you have, like, a good legal team, then you basically get off. And I feel like there needs to be a better standardization of a crime and punishment because it shouldn't be about how much money you have and the lawyer you have. It should be, okay, you know, why is somebody going to jail for 30 years for one nonviolent drug offense and one person has, like, a dryland or a violent story, cocaine, like, outburst, and they're getting, you know, off on probation. So I think that
that's... Yeah, really how is Conor McGregor running around New York training for this fight that he has this month now? He got on a plane with his mob. He terrorized fighters, and then he got a metal dolly, threw it through the bus. Some guy couldn't fight because he got too bad a cut, so he wasn't eligible for a fight, which he'd been training all his life for. Some other guy got pieces of glass in his eye, which he didn't sue about. Everyone was saying he'd never be allowed back in New York again. He gets a fine, which he paid, a few weeks or a couple of weeks community service, and now he's got a huge fight this month. Well, how is that fair?
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
He could have killed someone with that dolly.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, what book are you currently reading? Are you reading a book right now?
I'm reading a few books, you know, but nothing I can say on here.
Oh my god!
No, I just I'm not actually a big reader. I'm just trying to get myself to read, so that's why I'm reading more than one. But there's this one book, and it's pretty dark. Kind of book about humanity. I don't know if you get that. I kind of about exploring the truth of humanity and finding out about how just how dark human soul is.
Well, on that note, we'll do the What Song Instantly Uplifts Your Mood. And so I actually really like this Miley Cyrus song. And well, oh my back God. When she was, you know, Miley Cyrus, it goes like, I got my sights set on you and I'm ready to aim. Do you know that song? Okay.
You know, I said Southern Belle. I've instantly
never had to... changed. No?
Oh, jeez. Okay, awkward.
I really like, I don't know if we're allowed to play it. It might be like copyrighted. No, no, okay, I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to play it.
I would say I really like our song, which you can hear at the end of this podcast.
Well, I know it's at the beginning, right?
Okay, but are people going to stay now for the end? If they realize it's the same one?
He's just a bright sunshine and rays. Just like in the morning, but then I put a giant blanket over it. Okay, frequent flyers of Reddit, what tips and tricks do you have for less aeronautically inclined? Because you're not a big flyer, right? You're not a huge fan of flying.
What, you mean on the vacuum, the giant metal tube of farts? No, I don't love it. I think it's tough because I've got big legs. So it's almost like a torture device that Germans have specifically engineered for my length of legs.
Mm.
And so after about 3 hours, it's just unbearable.
Yeah.
And then people just, you're just around other people and they're just like, some people are just animals on the plane, you know, they're just taking their socks off, they're picking their nails. Like, what are you doing there? Like, someone has to eat off that tray. Like, what are you doing? Like.
Oh man, I
that's just the grandmas.
Well, I've been quite lucky that I had a long haul flight from LA to Singapore, which was about 18 hours, and it started at about, I don't know, 10 p.m. and nobody was sitting beside me. I had a 3-row to myself, so I had 3 blankets, 3 pillows. I curled myself up and I put on a movie, put headphones in my ears because I can always nod off to movies, and I slept for like 8 hours on the plane. It was like one of the greatest things that's ever happened. But that's like, I think that's pretty rare.
Yeah, if you can take yourself out of the reality of being on a plane, then that's always a good thing. If they have VR on planes, that would be amazing, right?
It's funny because then one of the next ones is, what's the most annoying thing that's happened to you on a plane? Which is like, just like, they kind of bleed into each other. oh, okay. So they wrote, sitting next to a huge person sucks, but sitting next to a smelly person for 5 hours is torture. The airlines need an investigation into war crimes. Okay, that's a bit steep there. But
should that be illegal?
Have you sat beside someone that's a little bit larger on a plane before?
No, not really.
I'd had that 0 times in my life until I had back-to-back experiences with it. I think it was from, back-to-back experiences. And it's hard because I did not know they had a thing called a seatbelt extender. So it's when the seatbelt can't actually fit around a person and they need to get an extender. But the tough part is it does bleed into your seat. It doesn't make it more cramped for you. So I know there's a bit of an uproar where do you have to buy 2 tickets if you are entering into the other person's space because they bought a ticket just the same and now maybe a quarter of their space is being taken that's already quite small. So I do get why, but I think there was a bit of pushback and they ended up getting rid of that. So,
you know, when they first came up with the airlines, this used to be something that was people would dress up for. They would put a suit on and the air flight attendants and the staff, they would make their best efforts to make you feel like a king or a queen. They would bring you the champagne. They'd look after you. You'd feel pampered. Nowadays, they're treating everyone like cattle. They're like, you know, throwing the only daily croissant that's left to the back of the room, and everyone needs to just fend for themselves if they want it. And just packing people in next to each other with no regard. It's just a terrible state of affairs. These cheap flights have just brought in all of these people that just have lower standards, I guess, for what flight etiquette should be. And I think it is a war crime.
Okay, how do you feel when others find your partner attractive?
I think, okay, so I always had this concept. I love that a lot because it's just a form of like flattery and admiration. And as long as you can trust your partner, that's great. So I always was like, I wouldn't mind having a stripper girlfriend. And then I got to meet strippers and realized that how crazy you have to be to take off your clothes for wealthy people on a regular basis. But if they weren't crazy, I would easily have a stripper girlfriend. Because what is the person saying? Like, wow, I'd really love to bang your girlfriend. And then it's like, guess what? I bang my girlfriend.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I think calling all strippers crazy might be a huge generalization, but I've never met...
a sane one.
No. No, there is a... I have some former stripper friends, and they're lovely. So, yeah, I think that it does...
Well, share them around.
Well, they live across the pond, so unfortunately... Oh, wow. Yeah.
California?
Not in California.
They need a visa?
But anyway, they're retired now, though, so they've moved on to different careers. Okay, broke Redditors, if I transferred $20 to your bank account, what would you spend it on?
Please. Please. What? What?
So do you not, actually, so I've been a Redditor for a long time, but there have been a few instances of some extreme versions of generosity on Reddit.
Yeah, I mean, like, sending me £12.50 online. Thanks, mate.
Yeah. But are you a broke Redditor?
Oh, okay. Sorry. So I'm broke, and now this means the world to me. The guy probably have a party pizza, and I think he's entitled to. But I don't know. Like, there's not much. What he should do is what this homeless guy did, right? So he was listening to some of this business advice. Somehow it was working on his phone and his phone ran out. And some person gave him like $5 or $10. He went down to the superstore and bought up all this water. And then he sold the water to people and kept going, doing it. And apparently got out of homelessness by doing that. So as a nice little positive uplifting story.
Yeah.
You could do that or you could just get a nice Hawaiian.
Okay, so I really like this question. What are some green flags? Because people tend to be often a little bit more seeing kind of red flags when you refer to kind of flags in people. But what are some green flags to know someone is a great friend?
They already have other people around them that are nice and good. They seem generous. They're kind. You can ask them things. They're open. And also, I think they're good about the stuff that they don't want to talk about as well. I remember like talking to some guy and he's great. And then I mentioned his girlfriend. And he's like, oh, sorry, I do not like to. He's from somewhere in Europe. I won't say because I'm butchering the accent. Oh, I'm sorry, but I do not like to talk about personal matters of the heart. I was like, yeah, cool, that's fine. And then and we talked about everything else. I think it's that age old thing of like, you only truly know someone when times are when they're put under the biggest amount of pressure.
I would say other green flags, I think you kind of mentioned this a little bit too, is like, yeah, like when you get introduced to people that they've had long relationships with, that those are people that you also find that you work really well to, or that they get along well with you and treat you with respect. And I think also that they don't mind being honest with you, even if it's not necessarily something you don't want to hear, because it's really hard to tell people stuff that they might, like criticism, but constructive, and some people don't take it very well. But I think, you know, a great friend knows how to bring things up to you in a way that shows you that they are looking out for the best in you and want you to have, you know, the best possible life. So I like hearing all those things.
I think if we just mentioned some red flags as well, because some people don't really have any awareness of what other people are like. Anyone that's got something that they're carrying on a bit of rope that they've tied to, which doesn't need to be carried on there, that's a bit of a red flag for me.
Like what? Give an example.
Just like, say they've got, you can't even see what it is. It's just like a bag, and then they've tied a rope around it, and now they're holding the rope. That's kind of a bit weird.
Okay, well, I was trying to make this one a little bit more positive, but that's okay. We can bring in a few red flags. Okay, so what is the worst place in the U.S. you've ever been in, and why was it so bad? I'm just curious what people
wrote. I'm actually going to say off the bat, L.A. Like, I got unwell there. I got ripped off by the doctor that I had to wait an hour just for him to give me penicillin. Like, thanks. I had to pay like $100 for it. Like, wow, the markup on that is ridiculous. And it was just like, you know, just so much pollution, so busy, so many other people. So many, like, people who aren't really open to connecting as a community, because I guess so many other people come from other places, and there's such a movement of people in and out of that place. And, you know, Hollywood is there, and that has a whole different kind of attitude to life, I guess.
It's funny, Detroit came up so many times in this comment thread.
And isn't, like, that place bust anyway?
They did recently go bankrupt, but I do feel like hopefully that it might be like the phoenix that rises from the ashes when it comes to Detroit, because there's a lot of
people. Well, like America, making America great again.
No, but I think that the people that stayed hopefully will have, you know, just like a sense of toughness and togetherness and being able to, like, weather a really hard time. And then hopefully, you know, they're all the people that love Detroit, you know, because a lot of times if things go bad in a place and then you leave, well, you didn't really love that place. But to stay in a place that's gone through such hardships hopefully means that, you know, you really, really, you have pride in it. And then, you know, when it comes out the other side, you'll really be a kind of a pillar in your community to help other people enjoy Detroit. So I don't know, maybe I'm a bit of an optimist in that, which is okay. What was impressive a few decades ago that isn't that impressive today?
I don't know. Maybe like graphics.
Yeah, those are kind of the top ones. One is seeing someone with a mobile phone, 30-inch TVs, McDonald's birthday parties. Did they ever have those here?
I had one when I was 13, right? And it was great. It's great when you're a kid because you don't realize the damage you're doing to your kidneys and your liver. But you just get to enjoy this little party and you have McDonald's for your birthday. It's great. And then you get to choose one friend. And they took us around the back. We saw the kitchen and stuff. And they said, oh, do you want to go in the freezer? And you're like, okay. And then they put you in the freezer. And it's like, is this hygienic? You know, you don't take off your shoes or anything. You go in. And they just close the door. And now you're in this giant fucking freezing room with your best friend who's looking at you like, oh, why did you choose me for this? And then you have to find the handle. And the handle lights up like neon light, and you push the handle. But they kind of rely on you finding that handle. They don't really let you out.
Nice, getting trapped in a McDonald's birthday party. Love it. Okay, what is the etiquette and expectations of a one-night stand?
It's a one-night stand, buddy. There is no etiquette or expectations here. I think we all know what's happening. But at least get them a cab back, or, you know. I think that's the only expectation. Can I get out of this hellhole?
One person wrote, take the hint. If he or she is hinting for you to leave, leave. The number one thing, though, was make sure you both assume it's a one-night stand, so.
What?
No, you don't agree with that?
Okay, well, no. I think both parties should know that off the bat. Who's being naughty here?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. That was the number one thing. Okay, what is something that most people learn only after it's too late?
I guess that's relationships then, isn't it? Like, I married him and I thought him shaving off half his hair was fine. But then for the wedding photos, it was too much. And I realized all of his family did the same, even the females.
Okay, we'll move on. Ladies of Reddit, yay. What is the male equivalent of sexy clothing like cleavage, short skirts, and yoga pants? I like this question. I would say, someone wrote rolled up sleeves, jeans that show off the butt. But I think...
what is this thing? This is like reality TV now on Reddit.
Well, that's what Ask Reddit is. Ask Reddit. Well, no.
No wonder you love it.
No. Ask Reddit, but it's about anything, right? It's about anything and everything you could possibly have. And some of the ones I'm not reading because it'll say, like, teachers of Reddit. What's, like, the worst student that you've had? Or, like, doctors of Reddit or lawyers of Reddit. So I'm obviously trying to have things that are, you know, can appeal to everyone, you know? no, that one's rough. That one's just going to, like, bleed into, like, what you're just saying right now. If you could go back in time, what would you make up about the future to mess with people?
What? What is this a proper sentence? What?
Yeah, if you could go back in time, what would you make up about the future to mess with people?
So people would see you as a pariah from the future, and so they would all know. So again, off the bat, like reality TV, instead of actually doing something to prevent this terrible circumstance that we're leaving for our future generations in terms of pollution, in terms of bringing up better fuel sources. No, instead of that, just tell everyone you're from the future and fuck with their heads by saying, I don't know, we all grow two heads in the 2000 because of the shitty water that we're allowing these companies to do.
I like that. Yeah, we all grow. I think that's exactly what needs to happen.
But the second head isn't even useful. It's just a little head with deformed eyes and a drippy nose.
Okay, so what's something that you like that everyone seems to hate?
Well, I like my own space.
You think that? I think that would be much agreed upon.
Okay, do I like that most people don't?
Yeah,
this is kind of almost a fetish thing now. What do you mean, man? I don't know. I like a certain type of burrito, but I don't have the cheese or the sour cream. Get over it.
Okay, so what old person things do you do? And I'm trying to think.
Footbath.
Yeah, maybe the footbath definitely is probably one of those things.
You like your sleep.
I do like my sleep. My dad likes to collect stamps, and I don't mind sitting with him and trying to sort through some stamps.
Oh my god! If you're doing puzzles now, anyone that's anyone that's from? Young doing a puzzle, come on, get out of the house.
I've done many puzzles.
Get out of the house.
Not 100, but I've definitely done at least 4.
Your time is up. Come on, what are you doing?
I've done at least 4
puzzles. Oh my god. Oh my god.
And sometimes you can do a group puzzle. I did a puzzle once, and we were out, we went to Mammoth, which was in California, to go snowboarding for a weekend. I think there was about 8 of us, and there was one puzzle that was about 500 pieces, and then after, because the lifts close about 4 p.m., and so you have a long evening on a Saturday night.
If there's a blizzard out, and you're stuck in this hotel, and there's no other forms of literature, and there's no one else around, maybe
you
do literature a puzzle, but come on,
literature is a very singular thing, right? And you're with 8 people, and a puzzle's something you can put on a table.
I'm saying you're on your own in this blizzard hotel. It's literally your last result of keeping your mind stimulated.
Well, I'll have to agree to disagree on that one, because I really enjoy playing puzzles. Not playing puzzles, but doing puzzles, so that's fine. Let's see here. Redditors, what has been your secret weapon to get to the front page? Ooh.
I think it's being a really good incel.
Oh, man. Okay. What's a minor unwritten rule that everyone should follow?
Be polite. I hate rudeness.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
Even if a slight of rudeness comes out, it's a very British thing. But I'll let people know.
Do you think it really is a British thing?
No. Well, we are just overly polite whilst fucking over other nations. That's how our empire was born. As long as we're having a cup of tea before the slaughters begin, then very dignified.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's funny because being from Canada, we are a technically different country, but almost everyone comes from... So much of Canada was built on the UK, so I can't, if I really judge that, being like, well, I'm Canadian, so we didn't do that. It's like, really, though? I mean, aren't you a UK citizen, Michelle? Isn't that how you can move to the UK? Because your mom was born in Scotland? And you're like, well, now that you mention that. This is kind of funny, because I feel like it's us. What was the most computer illiterate moment you've seen? Oh, if you guys could have seen us try to get OBS to work with the webcam from our phone instead of the webcam from the computer, that was 5 hours of painstaking frustration. We would download it. So we're not how sometimes you don't want to help somebody because they haven't put any effort into helping themselves. You're like, they're just like, hey, help me do this thing, and maybe they haven't tried anything. And so you say, did you Google it? And they say no. And try Googling it. So we did. We Googled it. We watched YouTube tutorials. We downloaded the programs. We followed all the steps. We were able to do that. And it just wouldn't work. And it just drove me mental, which is a word I'm now saying because I'm in England. And so I posted on Reddit because I love it, and I posted on an OBS sub, and someone sent me a kind of a screenshot step-by-step thing on how to use one of the new programs. We hadn't tried yet, and you did actually install it, and it worked, which was great.
Yeah, even on that, one of his screenshots is off, so I had to tinker with it and actually get the right details in the box, and then it finally worked, and then we realized that the frames per second was so low that we couldn't even use it other than it becoming an external cam for some comedy aspect that we were including on Twitch. But anyway,
you know what, it worked though, sort of.
I wish I had that time back just to sleep.
Oh man,
sleeping would have been a better use of that time.
Okay, so what is something that that you saw that still shocks you to your core, or shakes you to your core?
I think when you had the cat on your lap yesterday, and had never seen his anus, and some reason you were like patting him near the back of near his tail.
In front of his tail.
In front of his tail, yeah. But then his tail, he loved it so much, his tail went right up. And I saw his freaking ass. And I was like, I've never seen that. It's disgusting.
Oh, come on. You know, you see a cat for a day and you've seen a cat's ass.
Cat's anus. Come on.
No, you see, like, how do you... Cats always show you your butt. Isn't that what cats are all about?
All right.
Yeah. Two girls, one cup was the number one answer. Have you seen that?
No, but I put it on and forced my friends to watch it.
What?
I stood on the other side of the screen.
No so way. Good. Oh, that's horrifying. Oh, man. I did see it, but because, I mean, I was in college when that came out. Of course you were going to see it. So, okay, this will be our last one, I think, because we're nearing the hour mark. What is something we should appreciate, enjoy now before it's gone forever?
The planet.
Someone wrote the creator of SpongeBob SquarePants, unfortunately, because they're... you know, well, I mean, we're all technically dying, but they have ALS, so that's unfortunate. Someone wrote Niagara Falls.
Yeah, that guy sounds like a genius.
And someone just wrote your health, which I think is probably the best answer of them all.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, do you have anything else that you'd rather say? Is there any question that popped into your head that you want to answer? Oh, here, maybe this. What do you think... I kind of saw this because you're a bit quirky and I'm maybe a bit quirky too, is do you think that quirkiness is like innate, or do you think it's something that is grown or amplified by kind of where you were, what you experienced, how you were raised?
So basically, you know, I think as children, we're all like velociraptors, always testing the boundaries, always pushing, and we have certain levels of social conformity, and different societies, different cultures do different things. If you go to like certain tribal communities and they put a giant like a spoon thing in their mouth, like, oh no, this is attractive, and then they have a big lip or a big ear, that's really standard for them, but you know, for us, we would find that weird. So I think to some level it's innate within us to test things and to try things, and then it's whether we decide, we make a decision later to be like, you know what, I really like that lip thing, I'm going to bring it to California. And then people are going to say, you know, that lip guy, he's real quirky. Actually, so many reality TV stars are trying to come over as original. They should bring over these freaking tribal adornments, which are meant to help with the fertility.
I have two siblings, right? I have a brother, I have a sister. We had the same parents, raised very similar. And I would say that I'm probably... the quirkiest maybe of the three of us, just like outwardly probably. And so, I mean, yeah, you can say, you know, nature versus nurture, but we all had the same nurture. And I think for me, I've always been a little bit out there, a little bit left of center. I was always a little bit, you know, talkative. I like to dance. I like to be the center of attention. I like to make little jingles and songs and things like that about my life. So I think most of the driving force does come from within, but obviously it's shaped a little bit by my parents encouraging that and always having a very open upbringing. So yeah.
So on that note, I think it might be time to start loading up our jingle.
Yeah, I think we should start loading up our
and,
jingle.
And unfortunately, we're hitting the hour mark, so we're going to have to say toodaloo for now.
Toodaloo for now.
I thought that was pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed.
Surely not to be disbanded. We are the... Mighty Mounties!